الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأن معهم إلى يوم الدين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الحمد لله. This is going to be inshallah ta'ala our final core lecture for the conference. You have heard, I think most of us have heard Imam Zayd Shakir speak in the previous seminar session, so I won't go through any more introductory material. Just to remind ourselves, his topic tonight is going to be understanding how a believer yields good fruit at all times. Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك ولعظيم سلطانك سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, it's a great honor once again to be with you. And again, we would like to just express our appreciation to the organizers, all the believers who worked so hard to make this conference happen, their vision and their niyyah. May Allah reward their intention and their sincerity. May Allah bless all of us to be, as we mentioned earlier, bricks in the wall that the Prophet described, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'min lil-mu'min kal-bunyan yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. And he laced his fingers after saying that to demonstrate the believers are like the bricks in a wall. Each brick strengthens and supports the next. And we pray that Allah Ta'ala makes us a source of mutual strength and reinforcement for each other, especially when in these days when the fortress of Islam is under attack from so many different angles and so many different ways, that the wall isn't breached at the point where our brick is located, that we are not only bricks in the wall, we're strong bricks. المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير. That the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and in both there is good. So we pray that Allah Ta'ala blesses us all to be strong believers and to be firm about our work. So I just wanted to talk about, consistent with the theme, inshallah, wa bi'idhnillah, if Allah so wills and with the permission of Allah, leave of Allah, to talk about some things that can help us to yield, to bring forth the fruits of Islam consistently. So hopefully my comments won't miss the mark too much, and there will be something relevant to the topic. So first of all, as believers, I think it's very important for us to understand that we are all going to die. We're all going to die. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُم مُسْلِمُونَ. So, خُطْبَةُ الْحَاجَةِ, that frequently the weddings should open with, and frequently our addresses we open with one of the verses mentioned. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُم مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, fear Allah fully and die not except in a state of Islam. So die not except as a Muslim. Die not except that you're bringing forth the fruits of Islam. So as death can come at any time, Death can come at any time. As the poet said, جَاءَ الْمَوْتُ فَجْعَةً, that death comes suddenly, without warning. So, if we're going to die in a state of Islam, we have to live in a state of Islam. And if we're living in a state of Islam, we'll be bringing forth the fruits of Islam, the real fruit of Islam, not the Nation of Islam version, but the real fruit of Islam. And may Allah guide all the brothers who are wrapped up in the Nation of Islam. Allah guide them, complete their journey. So, I don't want to knock them, but just the real fruit of Islam, the fruit of our ibadah, the fruit of sincere and deep faith, the fruit of service to humanity. So we want to focus first of all on those three things. That if one were to ask, what is our purpose here? We can boil it down to three things. One, to serve humanity. We're here as servants to serve humanity. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You're the best community raised up to serve the people. Nas, not to serve the Muslims. To serve the people in general. To serve humanity. As some of the exegetes mention, and some of them literally say, لِخِدْمَةِ النَّاسِ. To serve the people. That as Muslims, we should be serving people. We should be helping people. We should be assisting people. أَيُّ الْإِسْلَامِ خَيْرٍ. Which form of Islam is best? And تُطْعِمَ الطَّعَامِ. That you feed people. So we should be feeding people. وَتُقْرِئَ السَّلَامِ عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. That you feed people and you greet people, those you know and don't know. Feeding people, serving people, assisting people, bringing peace and stability to lands. This is what Islam does. And these are things we should be cognizant of. To serve the people. Even before that, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes we deviate because we forget what the essence of the religion is all about. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've only created the jinn and humans that they serve, that they worship me rather. We could translate it that they serve me, because ibadah implies service to the Sayyid. And in this case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I've only created the jinn and humans that they worship me. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِي. So not لِيَعْبُدُونَا, لِيَعْبُدُونِي, that they worship me. And Allah Ta'ala, the next verse makes it clear. A lot of times we become overwhelmed with our livelihood. Say, why isn't the brother coming to the masjid anymore? Why isn't the brother coming to Jum'ah anymore? Because apparently somewhere along the line the brother got in his head, consciously or unconsciously, the idea that we're in this world to make money. So the brother's working three or four jobs. Or the idea that taking care of his family takes priority over worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no contradiction between the two. But the next verse, Allah makes it perfectly clear. So, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've only created the jinn and humans that they worship me. In the next verse, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ. I don't desire that they take the responsibility for their sustenance. مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. And I don't desire that they feed me. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينَ. Allah is the provider of sustenance, the possessor of power, the mighty. So Allah Ta'ala is making it clear, Allah has taken responsibility for our sustenance. And Allah will provide. Allah will provide for us. No one will take from this world any more or any less than what Allah has decreed. As one hadith Qudsi mentions, it's not that well known, and I don't know its rating, but, يَا عِبَادِي يَبْنَ آدَمْ. إني خلقتك لعبادتي فلا تلعب. Son of Adam, human, I have created you for my worship, therefore don't play around. يا ابن آدم إني خلقتك لعبادتي فلا تلعب. وقسمت لك رزقك فلا تطمع. And I have portioned out what your sustenance in this world is going to be, therefore don't crave for more. Meaning that whatever is destined for you to take from this world, you're going to take it. So don't squander your worship. Don't neglect your worship. Don't fall short in your worship, craving for more than what you need. وَقَسَمْتُ لَكَ رِزْقَكَ فَلَا تَطْمَعْ. So we should focus on this and understand the worship is our number one priority. And we make sure we take care of that before we take care of anything. And if we take care of that, everything else in our worldly affairs are going to be in order. Because Allah Ta'ala will never lead us astray. Allah Ta'ala will never put us in a situation that jeopardizes our well-being by pursuing His worship. Never. So we should focus on that fact. So to serve the people and uplift the people and do positive things for the people, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be good servants of Allah ta'ala, to actualize the idea of servitude in our lives, tahqiq al-ubudiyya, to actualize that in our lives, to reinforce the message that I'm a servant of Allah. If we ask you a brief exercise, you could do very quickly, it's a mental exercise. Ask yourself, during the past year, how many situations were you in? I'll ask myself also. How many situations were we in where Islam dictated that we do such and such, and we failed to do it? Or Islam dictated, the principles and teachings of Islam dictated that we not do such and such, and we did it anyway. So just think about that. I should have done this or not done that. And I did the opposite, even though I knew it was counter to sound Islamic teachings. Second part of the exercise, ask ourselves, why didn't I do what I was supposed to do? Or why did I do what I was not supposed to do? So think about the reason. Why did I do A when Islamic teachings and principles said I should do B? Or why did I do B when Islamic teachings and principles said I should do A? So think about it. And then the final question, what does that decision say about my nature as a servant of Allah? What does this say about my as a slave, a servant of Allah? What does this say about me? Am I approaching life as a servant of Allah, or am I approaching life as a servant to my love, to my nafs, to my soul, to my lower desires? So just something to think about. And thirdly, we should be working for the salvation of our souls. We should be working for the salvation of our souls. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Every soul will experience death. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. As we mentioned initially, it's very important to keep this idea before us. I'm going to die. Because a lot of people are reckless in this world. They're living as if they're not going to die. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. That's what we're preparing for. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And you'll be given your recompense in full on the day of resurrection. Everything we did in this world, we're going to be accounted for. Great and small, in full. Every good will be rewarded for. And every bad will be accounted for. And that which Allah Ta'ala doesn't forgive us for, we're going to be taken to task for. وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنُ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ The one saved, pulled back from hell. وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ And entered into paradise, that's the victorious one. So the salvation of our soul, attaining salvation, that's the real victory. A lot of times now some Muslims are confused and get caught up in irrational actions and destructive actions because they forget about the good of their soul. Forget about the good of their soul. And forget about the fact that we're going to be accountable for everything. And because they forget about the good of their soul, they do reckless things that jeopardize their soul. So, for example, I'll give you a couple examples. The September 11th in New York, in America, New York and Washington, D.C., which has been attributed to Muslims. And then some Muslims take responsibility, say, yeah, Muslims did it, Takbir Allahu Akbar, the Magnificent 19, Allahu Akbar. Well, those Magnificent 19 killed 352 Muslims. 352 Muslims died in the collapse of those towers. 352 Muslims. How's a Muslim going to rationalize that to Allah Ta'ala Yawm Al-Qiyamah? How's a Muslim going to rationalize? قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا قُتِلَ رَجُلٌ فِي الشَّرْقِ وَرَضِيَ آخَرُ فِي الْغَرْبِ لَقَدْ أَشْرَقَ فِي دَمِهِ If a man is killed in the east, لو قتل رجل في الشرق ورضي آخر في الغرب and another man is pleased with that in the west, لقد أشرك في دمه They both share the burden of his death. They both share in his murder. So what about someone who not only kills an innocent person, kills an innocent Muslim. Not only kills an innocent Muslim, kills hundreds of innocent Muslims. What is the state of that person's soul when they stand before Allah Ta'ala? Here in London, what happened on July 7th, they said five of those 52 people that were killed, five of them were Muslims. Innocent Muslims, didn't do anything to anybody. Going to work, going to shop, going to visit their parents. Wallahu alam. Wal musta'an. Murdered. So now some Muslim children are growing up without their father or their mother. For no crime that they committed. For no crime whatsoever. How are those people going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To say nothing of the burden and hardship imposed upon the Muslim community in both lands. So it's very important to think about our soul and to think about, are we pulling ourselves back from the hellfire or are we assisting and immersing ourselves into the fire of hell? Everyone has to stop and ask that constantly. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ أُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَنْ حَيَاتُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَى الْغُرُورِ And saying that, I'm not trying to say there's no political, economic aspects of Islam. Islam is concerned with society. When the Romans and Persians were fighting, the Muslims were concerned with the outcome. غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدَ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ فِي بِعْ سِنِينَ وَلِلَّهِ الْأَمْرُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَمِنْ بَعْدُ وَيَوْمَئِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ The Muslims were concerned, the Romans and Persians, the Romans have been defeated and they'll soon be victorious in a number of years and with Allah's the command. before and after, and on that day the believers will rejoice. So they were concerned with this political development. But politics, economics, everything is subordinate to our worship of Allah. Everything is subordinate to the salvation of our soul. We can engage in actions and lose that are political or economic and lose our souls. A person, we know the well-known hadith, the man fought jihad. So he did what's politically sanctioned in Islam. He fought jihad. There are circumstances where nas'alullah al-afya. We ask Allah for well-being. لا تتمنى لا تتمنوا لقاء العدو وسلالله العافية. Don't long to meet the enemy. Ask Allah for well-being, safety, security, good health. وَإِذَا لَقِيتُمُوهُمْ فَاصْبِرُوا. But there might be circumstances that are unanimously agreed upon in our law that we might have to fight. And if we are in those circumstances, we pray that Allah gives us steadfastness. وَإِذَا لَقِيتُمُوهُمْ فَاصْبِرُوا. But we can engage in a struggle and we can win and still lose, because we put the primacy of the struggle ahead of the primacy of our religious teachings. So the man fought jihad. And he said he fought fi sabilillah. And what was the response? You lied. You fought so people could say you were brave. And it was said of you, and he was ordered to be thrown into the hellfire. So he won, but he lost. He lost his soul. He won. He was a great warrior. People, mashallah, he's brave. Mashallah. But he lost his soul because he was fighting for the wrong reasons. So we can engage in economic activities. So the worship of Allah is uppermost. But there are valid Islamic activities for a believer. Well, we can pursue our economic well-being and lose our soul. There are many Muslims, I'm sure, in this country. There are many, many in America. In Chicago alone, there are 3,000 Arab-owned liquor franchises. And most of those are Muslims. Some Arab Christians, majority are Muslims. Palestinians and Egyptians, overwhelmingly. In our area, San Francisco Bay area, the Yemenis. All Muslims. Every corner. And in the poorest neighborhoods. And Allah says that economic activity is cursed. Anyone associated with it is cursed. Cursed. Mal'oon. The one who plants the grapes, cultivates the crops, picks the grapes, squeezes the grape, puts it in the bottle, takes it to market, sells it, buys it, benefits from its profit. They're all cursed. Mal'oon. So a Muslim can go and do that, get rich, stuff his pockets, fill up the bank account, and end up in hell. Because the economic concerns took precedence over the religious concerns. So that person's forgetting about the salvation of their souls. And these three objectives, they're summarized. One hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summarizes this. The service of humanity, the salvation of our soul, and the service, or rather the service of Allah, the salvation of our soul, the service of the people. Where he says to Abu Dharr Mu'adh ibn Jabal, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ. Be mindful of Allah wherever you are. وَأَتْبِي السَّيَّةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And any misdeed you might do, follow it up with a good deed that will wipe it out. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِقُولُكَنْ حَسَنْ. And deal with the people with good character. وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِقُولُكَنْ حَسَنْ. So, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُ. This is the service to Allah. Because as we mentioned earlier, in the earlier section, taqwa, امْتِثَالُ الْأَوَامِرِ وَاجْتِنَابِ النَّوَاهِي. Implementing the orders and avoiding the prohibitions. This is the essence of worship. To do what Allah tells us to do, and avoid what Allah tells us to avoid. So this is the service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَتْبِيَ السَّيَّدْتَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And any misdeed you do, follow it up with the good deed that will wipe it out. This is the salvation of the soul. The basis of salvation is tawbah. That's the first step. So if we're going the wrong way, if you want to go to London, what goes from here to London? The M1? M1. So if you're on the M1, you start in Leicester, and you're on the M1 going north. If you're serious about getting to London, what's the first thing you have to do? Get off and go south. Get off and go south. And this is what Tawbah is. If we're serious about going to heaven, and we're going down the wrong road, we're going down the road of sin, we have to stop it. And then get on the right path. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Whoever rejects the false God and believes in Allah. We have to stop going in the wrong direction first. And then get on the right road. So, repentance, tawbah. And we should be a penitent nation. We should be, and again, this helps to make the fruits of Islam permanent in our lives. If we ask people, what are the communal characteristics of Muslims in Britain? In other words, we went to the average non-Muslim British person. And we said, you know anything about the Muslim community here? If they say yes, so, well, describe the community. What kind of people are the Muslims? What would our communal characteristics be? What are some things they would say about us? As a community, they say we're clean, that our neighborhoods are the cleanest neighborhoods, that we're, and nadhafatu min al-iman. Cleanliness is a part of faith. Would they say we're highly educated? Our schools, the highest scoring schools on the national test and national examination, do our students, graduates from the high school, the disproportionate number go to the best universities? So we're filling up Cambridge and Oxford and these universities with Muslims who come out of the schools in our neighborhoods. What are our community? Are business people known for their honesty and integrity? Someone said, you know, Bob, if you could go, you know something about the Muslims. You could go into business with a Muslim or non-Muslim. Which one would you choose, Bob? And would he say, the Muslims never burn you. They'll never backstab you. They won't let you down. They're reliable. What are our communal characteristics? We should think about what we're doing at each and every moment to contribute to a positive image of Islam. And one of our characteristics, we should be coming from وَأَتْبِيَ سَيَّةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. We should be a penitent nation. We should be a community whose collective existence is characterized by repentance. That we are a nation of repentant people. So, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So turn to Allah altogether. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So emphatically, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. The order is to the group. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. And then it's reinforced. جَمِيعًا. All of you. Then it's reinforced again. أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. It's reinforced again. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So turn all of you all together to Allah in repentance in order that you are successful. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So this should be one of our characteristics. So it starts with repenting individuals. With repenting individuals. وَأَتْبِيَ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And so any misdeed you do will slip no matter how good we are. We're going to slip. Hopefully Allah Ta'ala will elevate us and we'll work hard to, we'll get to a level we won't consciously fall into sin, but we'll get weak and we'll slip. We're human. But when we do, we should follow it up with a good deed that will wipe it out. Because this slip, the sin is one against us. And the good deed, as mentioned earlier, is at least tenfold for us. Al-hasanatu bi ashri amthaliha ila sab'imiyya dirf. Or up to 700 times in our favor. Ila ad'afin kathira. And many times over that. One of the greatest virtues we'll talk about, inshallah, at the end of this presentation, patience. Patience. And the reward for the patient, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ is unlimited. The patient will be given their reward with no reckoning. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ with no reckoning whatsoever. So anyway, so the salvation of the soul and the basis of that repentance, tawbah, وخالق الناس بخلق حسن, and then serving the people and deal with the people on the basis of good character. And deal with the people on the basis of good character. إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. I've been sent, كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, to perfect good character. I've been sent to perfect good character. So the tree of faith brings forth fruit. And that fruit, one of the greatest of those fruits, is good character. One of the greatest fruits is good character. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ I've been sent to perfect good character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُكٍ عَظِيمٍ You're on an exalted standard of conduct. So we should be known as people of good character. Someone says, Muslim, mashallah, those people, I don't know anyone with character like those people. They even learn Arabic. Subhanallah. This is a non-Muslim. This is Bob talking. Mashallah, subhanallah. Muslims, subhanallah. I wish all my neighbors was Muslim. Nicest people I know. They help me. The guy was changing his oil. He comes, knocks on my door. You need an oil change, Bob. No, I'm changing mine. I'll change yours. I have a few extra liters. I'll change yours. Mashallah. That's Bob speaking here. Mashallah. He's just overwhelmed. He starts speaking like a Christian, talking in tongues. He starts talking Arabic. Mashallah. He's so excited. Alhamdulillah. So we should be people of good character. And again, these are the things that count. These are the deep things. So having strong faith, and then that faith manifesting itself in action. ليس الدين بالتمني ولكن ما وقر في القلب وصدقه العمل. So deen here referring to faith isn't a wish or a fancy, rather it's that which takes root in the heart and is testified to by the actions. So again, constantly ask ourselves, what testimony are my actions giving for my faith? So Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ So it's not righteousness to turn your faces to the directions of the east and the west. And to summarize the underlying meaning here, the superficial manifestations of religion don't embody the essence of righteousness. They're important. So in the occasion for this revelation, the Jews and Christians were arguing on the virtue of their respective qiblas. And this was at a time when the Qibla had changed for the Muslims. So Allah is reminding everyone, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ It's not righteousness to turn your faces in the direction of the east and the west. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ Rather, righteousness is to have deep faith in Allah. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ Righteousness is to believe sincerely in Allah and the last day and the angels, the scriptures and the prophets. And then that faith gives birth to action. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ And to spend, to give one's wealth in spite of one's love for it. So we mentioned earlier, the human being has been made to love wealth. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المصومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا. So it's been made alluring to people the love of the opposite sex, of children, sons, heaped up hoards of gold and silver, branded steeds, cattle, cultivated fields. That is the wherewithal of the life of this world. So we love the wealth. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ But the believer, as in a function of his or her faith. So Allah mentions the faith first. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ And then he mentions as the fruit that this faith gives birth to, spending the money, in spite of one's love. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ He spends the wealth in spite of his love for it. And spending, this is the indicator of righteousness in the Quran. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ You will never attain to righteousness until you spend from that which you love. And not just spending some unexpected money you inherited, from Uncle Ahmed, who you didn't even know had passed away. And they said, well, you're going to get a check. Oh, alhamdulillah, I'll give it to the mosque. That's easy. But righteousness is the spin from that which is going to make you say, ouch. It's going to hurt. You're going to have to sweat a little bit. لَن تَنَالُوا بِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ So Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِ الْقُرْبَى For the relatives. Charity begins at home. ذَوِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى The orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ The poor people. We should have charity centers. In Islamic history, we had awqaf. Even today, not as much, we have جَمْعِيَ خَيْرِيَ The charitable associations. We had awqaf that was spending in Damascus. They had a waqf for the miskeen, the child that broke the water jug. So people had to go to the river, Nahri Barada, to get their water. Then if you got water from it now and drank it, you might die. But it was then pure, sweet water coming out of the mountains. And if the child fell or the servant and broke the jug, they had a waqf to replace it. They had endowments for everything, to replace broken dishes, to all kinds of services to the poor and the downtrodden in the community. والمساكين وابن السبيل The wayfarer who's been cut off from the source of their wealth during their travels. They lose their money, they run out of money. Then the Muslims spend for those people. So we had the hostels all over the place. Free medical treatment for travelers. All of this paid for by the Muslims. Private individuals. Awqaf. وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ For those who ask, وَفِي الرِّقَابِ And for the liberation of slaves. And in Islamic history, there were societies set up to liberate slaves in the context of the North Atlantic slave trade in which Britain was a big key participant in, as was America after America was established, and to the credit of the British people, they were instrumental in ending it. And there's a good book you can read that documents that called Bury the Chains by Adam Hochschild that goes into the history of how slavery was ended in the British Empire. One man started, dedicated his life to it, and he succeeded. So if you have firm conviction and a righteous cause and you work hard, you can succeed. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى This man's name was Thomas Clarkson. In any case, وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, for the liberation of slaves. In the Caribbean, there was in the island of Trinidad, there was an organization called the Free Mandingo Society. So the Mandingo, these were Muslims from Africa who were enslaved, and they gained their freedom. They set up a society to buy the freedom of other slaves. And in the War of 1812, they actually liberated 1,500 African slaves in the southern United States and brought them to the Caribbean to fight against the Americans in the War of 1812. And over 200 of them became Muslim. So they were engaged in dawah also. And there were anti-slaving societies in West Africa during the period of the slave trade. And we should be cognizant of this, because a lot nowadays, they see so many people of African descent coming into Islam. In America, I'm sure here in Britain, in the Caribbean, and there's a lot of attacks that, oh, the Islam enslaved the Africans and all of this stuff. So Islam provided the basis for anti-slavery activity. And Allah Ta'ala says this is something Muslims have to spend their money for. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. And today, there's still work to be done. There's estimated 25 million slaves in the world. Sexual slaves, girls who've been kidnapped primarily in Eastern Europe, Russia, Romania, Bulgaria, those areas, Hungary, and then sold into slavery. They're lured. You want to be an airline stewardess, a model? Here's a girl, poor, going nowhere. Yeah, that's glamorous. I want to be an airline stewardess. And they sign these contracts, and they find themselves strung out on drugs and thrown into brothels in London or New York, kidnapped in Latin America, Mexico, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and these places. And they end up in slavery, and they can't leave. If they try to leave, they might be killed. Child laborers, children confined to sweatshops, can't leave. Just go home, sleep a few hours, come back to slave over a sewing machine. Making things many of us are dying to put on our bodies in some instances. So slavery's still here, and Muslims should be working to free it. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. وَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ. So we'll stop there with that verse. But the faith should give birth to action. The faith should give birth to action. And this is a big part of our religion. In conclusion, to mention the importance in terms of how those fruits manifest. So those fruits manifest when our faith is deep. Those fruits manifest based on the depth of our faith. Those fruits manifest themselves based on the understanding of the religion. I understand that as a Muslim, I should be serving humanity. I should be making life better for people. I should be a force of good, even if I have to do it alone. So there's no one to help me, to assist. I'll go it alone. I'll stand tall myself. So understanding the religion. And finally, being steadfast and patient. Being steadfast and patient. Understanding, and again, going back to understanding the religion, a lot of time the fruits stop coming because we get frustrated and depressed. Overwhelmed. So Muslims are being pushed from pillar to post and brutalized all over the world, and I have to do something, and realistically, I don't see there's anything I can do. So we get frustrated and either get involved in desperate, counterproductive, irrational activities, or just drift away. So the next thing you know, one day the brother's rah, rah, rah. The next thing, the brother, you see him with a bottle of alcohol in his hands. What happened, brother? I just gave up. You know, what could I do? You know, so the situation's so bad. We can do a lot of things, great and small. Great and small. Implement the fara'id in your life. Try to implement as many nawafil, voluntary. Implement the obligations. and try to implement the voluntary acts. And this is something that brings the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant doesn't draw himself close to me with anything more beloved than the obligations I've imposed on him. وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my servant continues to draw himself close to me through the voluntary acts until I love him. And the love has consequences. وَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُ. And when I love him, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِي وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِي وَيَدُهُ الَّتِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا وَالرِّجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِ بِهَا وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْتِيَنَّ. And then I become the hearing he hears with, the seeing he sees with, the hand he grasps with, the feet that convey him. Not that Allah becomes incarnate in us, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, but that Allah gives us success in using these things in ways that are consistent with the Sharia. Allah gives us tawfiq through all of these facilities, all of these faculties. And in that state, if He were to ask me anything, I would give it. When ista'adhani la'u'idhanna. And if He were to seek my protection, I would protect Him. So that's something all of us can do. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. Allah loves those who are repenting. That's what we started with. Repentance. So now we'll finish with this. Allah loves those who are repenting. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَاهِرِينَ. And He loves those who are pure. Keep yourself in a state of wudu, a state of purity. Stay in a state of purity. You lose your wudu, renew it. You fall into sin, repent. And this is something that brings the love of Allah. Izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah, washad fi ma 'inda an-nas yuhibbuka an-nas. Turn away, detach your heart from the world. Not meaning throw the world away, but don't attach your heart to it. Attach your heart to the akhirah. بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. They prefer the life of this world, but the hereafter is better and longer lasting. So attach your heart to that and detach it from the world. If Allah blesses us with the world, alhamdulillah, we can be al-yadul ulya. خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. It's better than that we can be the giving hand. We can be spending fi sabilillah. We can be building the universities we need. We can be building the institutions we need. We can be serving the poor people, building youth centers. So money is good in Islam if we use it fi sabilillah and enjoy it. If you're wealthy, you should drive a Jaguar. No problem. If you have it like that, but spend a lot of it fi sabilillah. Enjoy it. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors of your Lord will you deny if He blesses? But don't let it take over your heart so that the money remains your servant and you never become the servant of the money. إِزْهَدْ فِي الدُّنْيَا يُحِبُّكَ اللَّهُ وَازْهَدْ فِي مَا عِنْدَ النَّاسِ يُحِبُّكَ النَّاسِ. And this hadith is da'if, is well known. But its meaning is sound, is substantiated in many verses in the Quran, many other hadith, and some marasil, some narrations that don't mention the companion are sahih. There is isnad. In any case, Allah will love you. And when Allah loves us, Allah will undertake our affair. Inna waliyya Allahu alladhi nazzala al-kitaba huwa tawalla as-salihin. Allah undertakes the affair of the righteous. The beginning of the hadith we mentioned. وَمَا تَقَرْبِ لَيْعَبْ مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. The one who transgresses against the one I love, I declare war against that party. فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. So all of this comes from the love of Allah. As the hadith goes on to explain, وَمَا تَقَرْبَ لَيْعَبْدِي حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. So the love has consequences. and a manifestation kuntu yaduhu sam'ahu alladhi yasma'u bi wa basaruhu alladhi yubsiru bi wa yaduhu allati yabtishu biha. So Allah gives them tawfiq. This was the state of the companions. So Allah Ta'ala says about their crucial victory concerning the Prophet, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. You didn't throw when you threw the pebbles. Allah threw it. And Allah caused it to do miraculous things. Allah gave you tawfiq with that and it did what you intended. It did miraculous things. So, the state of the companions brought tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these things we can do. We can stay in a state of purity. We can be people of repentance. We can be people who just detach our hearts from the world. We can be people who draw ourselves near to Allah with the farad and then even closer through the nawafil. So this is empowering. So we don't have to feel powerless. I can't do anything in Philistine. I can't do anything in Shishan. I can't do anything in Kashmir. I can't do anything in these areas where Muslims are being brutalized. So, and then the other option, well, I'll do something crazy and irrational and counterproductive here. We could do all of these things, and those things bring about an improved state for the Muslims. Those things bring about the love from Allah. Those things bring about tawfiq for the community. Those things ward off the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We mentioned the jealousy. We mentioned the jealousy, and I know it's late, so I'm going to stop here. And earlier session, and the implications, the social implications. Da'u al-umam. Dabba ilaykum. Da'u al-umam min qablikum. Al-baghdai wal-hasad. The disease of the nations who preceded you will creep up on you. Hatred and jealousy. And that the jealousy widespread, so there's widespread desire for Allah's blessings to be taken away from His servants. That's the essence of jealousy. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you reject my blessings, my punishment is severe. So our actions can bring the punishment. We're not helping our brothers and sisters. So there are Muslims here, young people in desperate need, young people on drugs, young people in gang activity, young people who are floundering in the school system. What are the adults doing for these people? Everyone's thinking about his or her money, getting enough money to move out to a nice country home, saving up enough money to build a villa back in Pakistan or Jordan or somewhere, and neglecting the young people. And what did the Prophet say about that kind of attitude? وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will continue to help the servant as long as the servant is helping his brother. So our brothers are floundering in trouble. We don't do anything to assist. So what happens? Allah doesn't help us. And so we're on our own through our own actions. And Allah Ta'ala's help isn't there. And we see the consequences of that. So it's what we're doing. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. If you help Allah's religion, Allah doesn't need help. إِن تَنْصُرُ دِينَ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you help Allah's religion, Allah will help you. What are we doing for the religion? Making people think the religion is a religion of killers and murderers? Making people think it's an irrational religion that's void of any moral vision? Generally speaking, that's how people are looking at Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was very keen in terms of his concern how people looked at the religion. He was walking with the woman and some companions, they saw him. What did he say? Innaha Safiya bin Huyay. This is my wife Safiya. So, because why? They might, Shaitan afflicts them and what's the Prophet? He's walking with a strange, I mean, if he's going to get involved in that, I mean, what's the power of Islam? He's clarifying, no. I'm not going to give you any opportunity. When he He judged between people. He said, I judge between you. Some of you are more eloquent than others. And you make a stronger case. So if I rule against the party that the right is with, don't take what I rule for you. And if you take it, you've taken a coal from the hellfire. A piece of hellfire. In other words, don't associate me with injustice. Even if I inadvertently, because some of you can make such a good case. In America, we have an expression. If you go to a doctor, we don't have a health service. The first question they ask is, how are you going to pay? They don't ask, where does it hurt? So a real doctor, they say, where does it hurt? You go to a doctor in America and say, how are you going to pay? And you go to a lawyer, instead of asking, you know, did you do it or not? So do I have a good case? The lawyer asks you, how much justice can you afford? So if you're poor, you can't afford much justice. You don't get much justice. And if you're rich, like O.J. Simpson or Michael Jackson, you can afford a lot of justice. And you get justice. So the lawyer asks you, how much justice can you afford? So the believer in this world is a person that is providing good and providing benefit and working to uplift humanity, working to save his or her soul from the hellfire and working to glorify God. So the point we're making, cognizant of the religion. So the Prophet ﷺ didn't want Islam to be associated with injustice. Though when asked about praying for the hypocrites, and even before that, at one time he didn't pray for the people who died and they had debt. And then he started praying for them. And he said, I didn't want people to think that Muhammad abandons his followers. That, you know, these Muslims, these people, we see them going to the mosque, they died, they didn't even have funeral. Janazah for this person. He just kicked them to the curb and left them out. So he was very much concerned about how the actions of the believers made Islam look in the eyes of others. And this is something we should be cognizant of. We shouldn't, through our action, make people think Islam is a religion that doesn't encourage personal integrity, that has no moral vision, that's not concerned with the uplift of others, that doesn't encourage cleanliness, that doesn't have high educational standards. The first command, Iqra, is read. And the Muslims institute a revolution in human thought. It was the Islamic knowledge that revived and passed on the foundations for the progress of these Western societies. We all know that story. So what are we doing today? So these are all the fruits of Islam. A moral vision, integrity, personal integrity, serving the people, uplifting humanity, working to make the situation better. وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى cooperating in good works. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ and turning away and refusing to cooperate and participate in bad works and negative works and sinful, rebellious activity. These are the hallmarks of Islam. And it takes a patient soul, one that's steadfast, not going to be battered around by the vicissitudes of time, but is going to be steadfast. And patient and persevere and endure difficulties and hardship fi sabilillah and to the glory of Islam. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah. I apologize for going over the time and keeping people up so late.
Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you. I remember Imam Zaid mentioning about glamour models. In June 2005, this year, Mobile Entertainment had done a survey, and you might be interested to know that 63% of the girls surveyed in this country would rather be glamour models than a teacher or a nurse or a doctor. And then 1,000 girls were then surveyed after that to ask what would they prefer as a profession, and most of them wanted to be a lap dancer, and only 3% wanted to be a doctor. That's the state of the mind of the culture in our country now. Anyway, we're going to break, inshallah ta'ala. Imam Zaid has had a very tough week. He has been performing every day, more or less, very extended and punishing hours. So I'm going to now relieve him of any Q&A, and we're going to take a break for about 20 minutes. And the next session would be a Q&A session with a panel of speakers. I can tell you that the panel would consist of at least Sheikh Suhaib, Sheikh Salim Al Amri, and Shabir Ali. And perhaps I will ask Imam Zaid how he feels. If he's up to it and he wants to, he may participate. If he doesn't, we can fully excuse him because we understand his physical situation in terms of fatigue and so forth. Jazakumullah khair. And come back in about 20 minutes' time.